sides of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
See him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from Revelations 1 and then Revelations 6. Now remember, the announcements have been made and the things. Won't be any Bible study this coming Saturday. It will be moved over 1 week. You know, so it will be the second Saturday, so remember that. Remember the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in November at Brother Tom there in Six Flags. All right, so remember that, Brother Tony, right? All right, and also, let's see, I wrote down a bunch of things here. Sister Gabby is to be entered into the hospital if things don't get working pretty good until Thursday. So just remember to pray that it'll all work out and we can pray for that, and the Lord will make everything come normal instead of having to induce labor, but they will do that, all right? Now, there will be a baptismal service after the evening service. No Dave Ramsey class for this Sunday, and also we'll do that. We're glad to have Sister Mary back with us for a little while. You know, glad that to just pray for her husband as he's there having to be shipped out and everything and be about 6 months or something like that, 6 or 7 months. So just remember that and keep much in prayer. All right. Let's see, one more. It was told me by one of the kids, now don't be leaving trash out in the playground, you know. And one of the kids is the one that told me about it. So, you know, you just don't be leaving your trash in the playground. Have to bring it back in and all like that, because that's we want to keep the place cleaned up and everything. We thank the ones that will try to do it. Okay, I think that's all of the announcements. Wedding this coming Saturday, what time? 6 o'clock. Okay, remember that. Yeah. So I think that's all of it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and your love unto us. We thank you for Calvary. Heal yourself unto us. Pray that you would just help us to understand and to walk therein. To follow thy word is our desire. And Lord, just open that up unto us, because you said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So we believe that we do that, Lord, and pray that you'd bless your way. Remember the sick among us and just touch each one. Remember those that are not here. Bless each one. Brother Dean there preaching for his brother. Just bless each one. And just have you in our hearts. Keep us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now we're over to Revelation 6, and we'll read verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him, responses of the four beasts, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt the oil, and you may be seated. Lord, that is blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we'll try to review a little bit back where we were this morning, and go from there with the message, because I want you to get this part. I believe it was, part of the service this morning to do, and I want you to get the point, or to see that, and it's very vital to me, because I told you that was one of the things that the Lord showed me this time on the opening of the seals, that the prophet knew the writer and who he was when that opened unto him and he saw the Antichrist.
Right.
All right. Once that was made known, that was Satan in the form of the Antichrist, then he wouldn't have to be dealing with each age, because it doesn't deal with a red rider, a white rider, a black rider, or a pale rider. The horse is what the color is, and the horse is the symbolics of the church, the power, the things that are taking place, here up on earth. But the rider himself is the devil, and we'll see when we get down to the fourth seal that he becomes Satan incarnate, and that makes it come back to the beast again for the last. But I want you to think on these things, and I want you to think about the, as I said, the rider this morning, he gets off the white horse, he gets on the red one. Well, that doesn't stop the white horse. That deceptive point just keeps right on going and follows out to the end. Well, when he gets off the red horse and gets on to the black one, it doesn't stop the horse. The actions, the ways that we're talking about, the symbols that we're looking at, what these mean, it doesn't stop that. That just continues right on.
Right.
See? But it's just the rider getting off, getting on to the next, getting off, getting on to the next. And then when it comes down to the beast, now watch the point, and you'll see that, see, he doesn't get off of the beast. Now watch. He doesn't get off of the beast and get on another colored horse. Because the pale is the last one. In other words, when he comes down to the beast part, it won't be getting off of that horse, the pale one, to go on to another horse. It comes to an end. And Brother Brown says, see there, you can see that by this the Antichrist is revealed, and his ride and, his end is revealed. And it's revealed because of the combat beast and what they're doing. But I wish you would read those things in there, because we're going to get back to this on the fifth seal and pick it up. But I wish you'd read the things that he talks about, these combat beasts, how that they are the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. And, and what we're seeing here, I was asked a question a while ago about it, what we're seeing here is we're seeing what's happening in heaven, all right? Because that's where this scene is first at.
Right.
But then it's got to come to earth.
Right. Yeah.
All right? See, then it'll show what's happening on earth. This rider was riding on earth.
Right.
But when you see it here, it's more or less into a writing of the book. In other words, John's writing down. So he's writing down, and he doesn't write, now we're going back to earth. He doesn't say things like that. It'll just go right straight on across, and he sees all of it while he's in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to him. All right. Then when he does come down, he realizes it's going to happen here.
Right.
So these things that we see are happening here. Remember, the Lord done showed John what it was, and if you and I are in the bride of Christ, then we can see where we're at. Because these four beasts, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, are also the same four beasts. Now, not the Theorons, that's the Theorons is the untamable. but the, I believe it's Zoom. All right. They are the ones we saw in chapter 5 in heaven. You know, and we kind of left it and went, come on back down and started on the others and didn't spend a lot about these combat beasts. But I wish you would notice one particular thing. I don't think I brought it today. I'm sure I didn't. But Brother Branham, when we get down to the part of it calling death, I know it's on the fourth one. He said, see that under the lion. You didn't see it under the ox, in other words, the man. It's got to be the eagle. Amen. So that's going to bring it down, is what I was trying to say this morning. Let's get this thing down personal. Amen. To where we're at. You know, and the person made a good point to me about it because it was good. See, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. We see them up here in the opening and thing, but then down on earth we see what is taking place. And you know, it's not just that the first one was a lion because there's not a name attached to that one, but it says, come and see. Right. The second seal opened, it says, the combat beast said, come and see. Right. And the third opens, says, come and see. Well, then the fourth, when it opens, it's an eagle. We can connect with that because that's our day and our time. All right. But what I'm wanting you to look at for a second and keep this in mind, that, you know, that those combat beasts were in the people.
Right.
See, now we are, after the prophet came and brought the message. See, I'm going to get back to that reason. I'm not going to spend much time on that point. See, you and I are now to say and come and see.
Right.
Are you listening? See, now, I'm saying, come and see what's under this seal. See, you go out and you talk to the people. And you say, well, look at this and look at that and look at this. See, it's the combat beast in you that's saying, come and see. You know, but it's still riding in you because it's riding in combat against him. Now, we'll get into the fifth seal. You know, and pick that up more. But I wanted you to think on that point until then to where we can look at it. All right? You see, don't think that Satan is ever, he's always trying to pervert God's word. That's his tactic. That's his ways of doing, is try to pervert the word. But if he can get in our minds that there's something wrong with the word, he can make you and I doubt our sword, the word. He's got us defeated.
Right.
He doesn't have to do anything else. He's got us defeated because we're doubting the word. Amen. That's why I spend so much of my time, and you know that I've done it for 40-some years, taking the things that seemingly contrary, annual 70 weeks, seals, things, And bringing them down to try to help you and I to where Satan can't say, look at there. He missed it right here. See, it's wrong here. But if he can get you to think or me to think one time.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Bible.
Right.
If we can make us doubt one word of this.
Right.
He's got us defeated.
Right.
All right. Now, keep that in your mind. He said, well, we don't understand all this. I didn't say that. Not having understanding is one thing. But when we come to the place that we doubt the word, that's why it was so hard back there years ago on the dates and the times and the seasons. And it's so hard now against the preachers of this message that are destroying the message.
Right.
Well, if they can destroy the message, and we know Brother Branham was a human and made mistakes and made slips of the tongue, yeah. That's no problem because he was a human. Right. But see, if Satan can make you doubt this message, he's got you defeated.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say it, and you can think what you want to. That's why most of the people are going to go by the grave.
Right.
Is because, not old age, there's a lot of people 90 to 100 years old now. Not that. It's because of letting Satan pervert that word with just a little bitty Antichrist saying. And you know yourself that the basics of what after Brother Branham preached about the and so many times explained the water baptism. Right? And yet he'd get into the seals and they say, but what about Matthew 28:19? Well, you know what that means? And Brother Branham was so gracious to answer that. You know why? Because that meant that person right there was deceived upon that point.
Right.
Or they wouldn't have asked the question.
Right.
You understand? I mean,
Right. That's
why questions are good. Because it lets us know
Right. Where
we're at.
Amen.
All right? And I love questions. Okay. So let's get on to something now. I ended up by the life statement making it of what effect does it have on you to hear of these things that we've been talking about? What effect does it have? What are your thoughts? Well, Brother Dale, you mean everybody's lost? Never taught that. Never said it, and you know it. Well, do you believe that Lula's the only ones going? Never taught that. Never said that. What effect does it have? Now, of course, we think of our families. We think of the loved ones and things that don't believe like we believe. And sure, we're human. We're concerned of people, friends, and loved ones that, you know, that don't believe like you do. You know yourself that if it would be good even if sometimes if some of those people would just outlandishly, you know, ball you out, as we'd call it, you'd get over it quicker. But they'll just say, well, I don't understand. And that affects us. It does me. But let's don't let it affect us so much that it makes us doubt the word. We're humans, right? I love everybody. I want to see everybody saved. Right? But you see, the word is what's right. And we read enough there throughout the things talking of the Antichrist where Brother Brown said, see there, anything contrary to the word is Antichrist. It's against Christ, which is the word. All right? And see, if he can destroy our thoughts, he has us defeated.
Amen.
Okay? And we will go by the grave. But somebody's not going to be arrogant and hateful and bless God, I'm going to know what I am. Well, that ain't even in the race. Okay? Is that plain enough?
Right.
That person ain't even in the race.
Right.
That person needs salvation.
Amen.
That's as plain as I can be. Well, that's not the point. That we think something great. Because remember, the Bible says whatever you are, God made you.
Right.
So then, why don't we accept what he's done? See, because that's what you call mixed emotions. Out of one side of you, you love people and want to see them saved. But out of the other side of you, you see that they either won't or can't receive what you have. Well, does that make you want to lay down what you've got? Or does it make you want to go on? Because if you go on, see, remember, somebody can follow you. But if you quit yourself, they can't. I'm just trying to be honest and sincere in our hearts. Man. Because it's very discouraging sometimes to hear the things that go on around this message. And it just makes you to where you want to just pull away and not have anything to do with people. But yet you realize that, hey, you got it somewhere from somebody. And what if you're the only hope they have? Now, when we get down in a minute to this dark age, I want you to remember one thing. Sure, it was a very dark time, horrible, almost seemingly total destruction. But remember, there was a little bride. A little bride there. We'll get to that in a minute, where he said, don't you hurt that oil and wine. He said, if you take them, Brother Brown said, even if you take them, said, don't you make them try to say any Hail Marys. Now, he said, kill them. That's what he's saying. We'll read it in a minute. He said, kill them. See, that's God talking. That's God speaking, see. Don't you kill them, but don't you make them. Don't try to make them doubt. See, because that little light always shined. Satan can't put that out. No matter how dark the ages got. You remember, it was so dark in Egypt. And it says that it could be felt, something like that, you know. But you know, there was light in Goshen. There was light in Goshen. And no matter how bad it gets, like Polycarp or something being burned at a stake, you know. But yet in the last bit, his soul was seen leaving in the form of a dove. There's always been light, so don't get disheartened about the darkness. But I want you to think about the darkness, of how dark it is. And remember, that darkness is here now. Honestly, just let me talk to you. You think about now. Wouldn't you like to see your family, your friends, your loved ones and things, to see what you see? Well, you just give you left arm, right arm, and a couple of legs to boot if they could do it, you know. But yet they can't see it. But remember one thing. Their only hopes of ever seeing it lies in you. That's what I was meaning there a moment ago. And that combat beast here now in the bride is saying what? Come and see. Come and see. We're the only hopes the world has. You say, us? No, it's Christ in us. It ain't us anyway. So think about that now as we continue on with the thought. But I wrote that down. What effect does it have on you to hear how horrible of a situation has existed in time? See, we don't think about it. We don't think about being, we're was raised in America where that irregardless of what we think about it, still we have a freedom. You know, I mean, we have a freedom that we can do and say and go and whatever. What if you lived in countries where everything was told you? I know Brother Reed doesn't mind me saying it, but those people that took over that aluminum bauxite plant, just to get a little old bitty something, see, he would just, you know, when they needed a small item, he would just, and okay, send somebody to go get it, you know. And keep from shutting the plant down, you know. He had authority to just go get the stuff, whatever it needed. Call in somebody to get it fixed or something. But he said those people were so bound. Now this is in the working force. So you can see how much it would be in the religious. He said, you tell them, we need this right here. We need this part. It cost $50 or something. Why? Can you get along without it? What would it mean if you don't buy it? He said, that's the way they talk. He said, we can't give you the okay to get it. Call back all the way over to the country they come from and have to go up the chain of command to finally get somebody that would say, tell them buy it. We never existed like that. Right? And we've never existed in a religious situation that you couldn't believe the way you want to believe. You know, at least in our dark time. We've always been free to be able to kind of move and do in the religious world. We can talk about the Pope. But what if he was in some of those countries? And if you spoke one word, it was instant death. There was no court of appeal. See, church, we can't comprehend what it would be like to be in such a darkness of Cain and his doings. We just can't do it. We're not made that way. We wouldn't raise that way. And then we look at people instead of saying, well, look, they're going to kill us one day. Well, the Bible said that they would kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Jesus spoke of it. What would be the horrible part of thinking about it then? But now listen. Just remember that Antichrist spirit is still riding. That red horse is still riding. Maybe here in America. It is controlled by the governmental force, as I've said a couple of times. You know, that you don't just go out and start shooting people. They'll arrest you. Yeah. But just think of the darkness that's in this land. I stood there in Jamaica years ago, and it just, you don't have to see. I can see people's eyes. And that's what I do. I mean, I'm scanning, looking at you in your eyes. I can tell by your eyes what, not what you're thinking, but sometimes I can tell what you're thinking. When you start going, you know, I pretty well know what you're thinking. But I was looking at some people or a man standing on a street corner. And I said, Brother Brady, that man don't have no hope. Peggy'd say, well, why don't they just get a ticket and come to America? I said, honey, how are you going to get the money? You know that they would crawl up in those bauxite aluminum, thank God they knew it was coming to, I believe it's St. Louis or somewhere, Louisiana somewhere. It was coming in. And they would try to get enough food together and go in there, and a lot of them died in the belly of those ships trying to make it to America. But I did. I said, that man's eyes, look at him. I said, you got a sparkle in your eye because you see Jesus Christ. I said, he's a religious person. You know, more than that. Maybe goes to church and things. But irregardless, he has no hopes in his eyes. He's just sealed like. And he'll be that way the rest of his life. We've never been that away, so it's hard to think about it, right? But let's think on that a little bit. Trying to make these seals come down to where we're at, where we can understand. All right? But we ended up, I think we might have read anyhow, we won't have to worry about it. But Brother Branham spoke of these things happening. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. And then he comes on over. We picked up about the fifth. We will jump on over to the number six, Brother Bob and him. But number five, Brother Brown said that The way he got his power, the way Satan got his power, is that he connected. All right. Council was held and they elected a head bishop. By doing this, they united church and state together. That's the only way he could do it. Was to get the governmental power of the state behind the action of the church. You've all heard the story that the Jews came to Kennedy. The old man Kennedy. He was a ambassador. Yeah, Joseph. Right. And they asked for help, and he laughed at them. You've heard the story. The Jew turned and said, well, whether it happened or not, I don't know. I do know by history that they did ask for help and that we wouldn't help them, you know, in the beginning, because that was just, that was the way it went. But just think, what if you had no hopes? And you know, in reality, if you're lost today, you have no hope. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's no light in your soul. It's as black as can be. Because there's no way to get any light there. My brother Branham would say, he said, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost more than anything in the world. Because see, that's the only light that there is in this dark age. Would be the light of the Holy Ghost. Dwelling. See, didn't think about it. In the time of darkness, you and I have an opportunity to live in Goshen and have light. But if we don't take that opportunity, what are we doing? We'll turn it down and we'll go into darkness. And there's no hopes then. All right? Let's get over and start on this third seal. And let's reread it again while they're pulling up number six. And look what he says. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Now the beast said, come and see. Now watch in a little bit. It's not the beast that speaks next. It's the Lamb speaking. The beast said, come and see. In other words, I'm going to now show you what's taking place. He said, come and see. All right, what do you see? And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, that's a symbol. That's a symbol. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. And he heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley, etc. So what is it saying? Well, let's go on to number six. We'll start on the third seal. Okay, paragraph 264. On the third seal, the writer is the same one, but another stage of his ministry. The first stage of white horse, he was just a teaching, just an Antichrist teaching. He was against the Word of God, and now how can you be an Antichrist? Anybody that denies every word of this isn't the truth, and to be taught just the same is an Antichrist. Because they deny in word, and he's the word. Anybody teaching contrary to the word is Antichrist. And on this third stage, he's in another ministry, another stage of the church. Look at the next one, which will be a long reading. Paragraph 273. same writer. This first age, he was innocent. The second, now if you want to get a little bit higher, a little more than that. In the second stage, the Bible said he'd be given a crown, and they crowned a man, a Superman. They crowned him. And then the Bible didn't call him a pope. The Bible don't say he's a pope. That's the mystery, see. He's a false prophet. The Bible called him a false prophet. Why? Yeah, of course he must be a false prophet by his Antichrist spirit that taught Antichrist against the original word. Because if you taught against the original word, he was Antichrist. It was, and the word is God, see, Christ, all right. Now, after that, we find him then crowned, when he got crowned. But he's a very innocent, helpless. Now, he's backgrounding. Open. If you go into the seal book, I've asked you to do it, to read. Notice he spends a vast amount of time laying a background before he tells you what the seal is. But that's not just playing around. That's a background. You see me background a lot. I back up on the message prior. Why? Because they all tie together. So watch him now. He's just a little fella, but then in the Nicene Council he was made, and Constantine gave him all the property, and then what did he do? Then, see, Satan gave him his throne and authority. All right? Satan gave to this man, this pope. The Bible said so, as we have went through it. Now, the next thing we find out, that the devil controls all the politics that has ever been or ever will be. We find that in Matthew 4:11, and now we find out that Satan already had politics, but he's trying to get the church. He already had the governments, because that's what he's saying. Jesus, remember, when he was taken up, he said, I'll give you all of this because it belonged to him. That was the governmental. That was the world, the system, the governments, all governments. All right. Now what does he want? He's got to get to church. But he's trying to get to church. So he goes down to deceive it. He gets his Superman, works him into an organization, and crowns him vicar, see, of Christ. Christ acted instead of God. See, this guy's a vicar instead of God. See, just the same, instead of God, what he's supposed to be, a vicar under Christ. Now, we know he's not a vicar under Christ. That would have been all right had he stayed that. But that wasn't true. Now, when he did that, then what did he do then? Satan took his political power, which he was already over, governments, and took the religious power, which he'd already been crowned. He put them together, and then he made him another crown over hell. And when they had passed on, if they pay enough money, he'd get them out, see. Now he's vicar over heaven, over purgatory, as he wants to call it. No such thing in the Bible, see. But he had it to make. But he had to make something. The Bible said he come out of the bottomless pit, and he returns back the same. On to that. All right, now what does he do? He makes him another place called purgatory. Now watch the darkness. The Catholic Church ruled the world over what they call the Dark Ages for about 1,000 years.
Right.
Fleeced the people of all their money. All right? Charging them, we'll get to it in a second, for prayers. Now, how horrible can anybody be? It would charge you for a prayer. Now, Brother Dale, we want you to come down, Brother Joe and them, Brother Joe and Sister Gwen, we went up yesterday and we dedicated her home. A beautiful home they got there, man. You get lost in that thing.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't tell which floor I lived on.
Yeah.
But anyhow, We went down, we prayed over it. Wouldn't that be something? They'd say, well, Brother Dale, will you and the church come up and dedicate our home? It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And it did, because, man, they fed us like a king. Had two big old turkeys or big old hens or something cooked, and food just running out every which way. And sure it did, but wouldn't it be something to charge for a prayer? Well, my baby's sick. Well, how much you give me to come down? Now you say, now that ain't going to happen. That's why Brother Branham stayed away from money. Because he knew what it was. Nothing wrong with money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. No problems. What you do with it. But what about somebody would charge somebody to pray for? People, you go to funerals, you do funerals, you do weddings. I know it's a kind of a customary thing to give the preacher money, but never want it. I'd rather give it back to the people that really needs it. Let's get married to mom and daddy on each side. They're the ones that need it. Give it to them. All right. But how horrible could you ever be? That you'd charge somebody for praying. They don't get it. But maybe they know what they're talking about. Let's go to number 8. Got a good bit of reading off of this one. You'll notice this is a continual reading, paragraph after paragraph. Paragraph 294 and 295 goes up to 300, I think. Now here is the mystery of this. And that when it revealed to me early this morning, before daylight, now that was the third seal. He didn't know what it was until then. Then I went quickly to the scripture and began to look and search it up. Here it is. Three of them so far has been absolutely supernaturally revealed. That's right. Now here is the mystery of the black horse, according to what it was revealed to me. He has started riding in the time of the Dark Ages. That's what the dark horse meant. The Dark Ages. Which you'll see in a minute, Brother Brown brings it to the in here to the Tyrian Middle Age. Is when it got into the, and I said this morning, the moon just went almost out. But there was no light. Huh? He starts riding him in the time of the Dark Ages. That's what the dark horse represented. The Dark Ages, where it was a time of midnight to the true believers that was left. Now, there was some there. But it was even midnight. Horrible, right? Watch now in that church age, that middle church age, the Tatar, the dark church age. Watch how he says, you just have a little strength. You read that in your fourth church age. All right. It was a midnight to them for the midnight to them for the true believer. Now watch, practically all hope had been taken from the true church, for this fella controlled both church and state. With no such thing as saying, well, we can go down to the government and argue. Nope. If you differed with them, it's automatic death. And the guy got a prize for killing you. They had a killing group there that I won't call the name of because it is in there, but they just had a joy killing one man. It recorded him killing 1,000 people in one night. 1,000 people he killed. Now, how many of them people did he pray for and ask them to get converted, or what did he do? He just went out and slit throats. Killed 1,000 people one night. What are they going to do? See, Catholicism had taken over both church and state. And all didn't agree with them. Catholicism was killed. That's the reason he was on a dark horse. Watch what a dark thing he done, see. Then he can see. Then you can see. And you just, if you know your history, watch it. And you won't have to even know it to know this. And watch, all hope was gone. That's his black horse. Now he rode on his white horse, cunning. And he gave power, took peace, slaughtered the millions. That's what he was going to do as he rode on through. And he still does it. See, now here he is on the black horse now, coming forth, dark age. That was that time, just about the time after the church got set up and got in power. They smothered out everything else and went through about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's really 1,000 years is what it was. Whatever readers know, that was the dark age. How many knows that? Sure, the dark age. There's your dark horse representing the dark age. Watch now. All hope's gone. No hope at all. Everything looked dark for the little believers. Now that's the reason this call represented a dark horse. Are you getting the symbol of the horse now? But watch him. Killing the people was one thing. But watch this. Here's where your darkness comes in. His balances are scales in his hand. You see? Called out. Now, if you'll notice in your scripture, he has the scales. So it says, come and see. He had a pair of balances in his hand. Well, that wasn't too bad. So God to let us know for sure. He's the one that says a measure of wheat for a penny. Not even the combat beast. The lamb cries this out because he wants us to know. All right? Watch it. Keep that point in mind now. His balances are scales in his hands. See, calling out a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. See, actually that is, wheat and barley is natural staff of life. That's what bread and stuff's made from. But you see, he was charging for this. He not only had the governmental charging for the bread. Right? And remember this, and you'll see him interlacing it. He was actually charging for bread. That's why Brother Brandon will cover it. Watch him. That's what bread and stuff's made from. And we know it didn't go spiritual. That's when it gets worse. What it means that he was charging his subjects for the kind of hope of life that he was sending out to them by making. He started in that very time of making them pay for prayer. Charging for prayer. They still do it. Novenas, is that the way you pronounce that word? Novenas? Because what was he doing? Capturing the wealth of the world. The scale weighing out a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. The rider on a black horse, he was making, stripping his subjects of their money. When the Bible predicts that he holds, what? The Bible predicts that he holds about the wealth of the world. As we said last night about Russia and all of that, they just take all the money and just strip the people everything they got. And Brother Brown said that was what caused communism to be like it was. That they were there fleecing the people of everything they had. And he said communism rose up to stop that system of the Catholic Church. You heard him tell about little Pepito, or what his name was, and they got all these golden altars and these candles burning on them. been over there in Brazil and seen it. Our Philippines, excuse me. Well, it was in hell too, but all these little things, man, it just, you're talking about, we go down to look at the markets and see all this stuff. And there it was. You could buy any kind of candles. You could buy any kind of thing to go burn for the dead. Well, see, they're taught if they don't do that. And, oh, the Catholics are wonderful people. They make you pay for prayers. Right? Pay to pay mom and daddy out of purgatory. You know that they're such good people. You know what they do one time a year? One day a year. One day a year, they have what they call All Saints Day. And you know what that means? Everybody's prayers goes to Father without extra charge. So the poor can get his prayers in to get his grandma out of purgatory. All Saints Day, that's what it's called. All the prayers can go, and I'm not joking, you know. Sister Anna knows, but I was there and witnessed them, and, you know, I'm like, I look around trying to figure things out. And they said, oh, this big old guy on this, that we have an All Saints Day. That means all the prayers goes up. Well, the next day, sorry, you can't pay for it. Your prayers don't go through. That's no joke. It's true. Now, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something to charge for prayers? Well, how much you pay? Now, where do we get down to the preachers in the end time? If we have time. Now, notice, do you see where that old money taken in church comes from? Now, what's he saying? Brother Brown said, we need to every service pass the plate. He said, a service is not complete without passing the plate. But now, what's he talking about? Do you see where those old money taking in church comes from? Get away from that stuff. What do they do? To build an organization, a big something, $1 million here, and you see what the mother of it is. There's not an organization in the world that don't have a great big headquarters of multi-million-dollar buildings. Right? Pretty large ones in this message. All right. Hey, if you need it and can afford it, praise the Lord. Man, we could use a bigger building. You know, we could use more comfortable or something, and that's fine. But are we looking at the buildings or are we looking at God? You know, I mean, you got to sit uncomfortable here or be too cold or too hot. Oh, yeah, we can have all this other. It's all right. You talk to Him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my, I'm so glad. Yes, sir. All right. It's been His grace. That's all. All right. It's a midnight time. Do you understand that now? And here he is charging for the kind of life. That's this barley and stuff, natural. It wasn't spiritual. Watch him now. Now, it was barley. Thus it said, watch him, he's interlacing now. They were charging the people for food. All right, that's one thing. That might be all right. But when you start charging for prayers, you know, Donnie old saying used to be water was free. is not anymore. Air used to be free. Not anymore. But look at him. Barley bread and wheat bread. He was charging for that kind of a life that he was giving to his subjects. Charging for the prayer, charging for prayer by the priest to pray people out of purgatory. Charging now, I'm taking this from out of history. Charging for, I guess, it's novena. I guess everybody knows what novena. I guess that's something you have to do, you know. Some penance, somebody have to charge for that. Bringing the wealth of the world to him and to himself and to the church itself. And he's still riding. Oh, sure, he's still riding. Look at him. Look at where he's at. Okay. Let's just put this one in here. What's this one? I searched for this one, for the wording of it. I knew what Brother Brown said, but I needed the wording to get it out of the computer. So I searched it all yesterday and this morning, and back here I finally picked it up a while ago. So we just start right here. We talk about the third beast that Satan sent out. He became shrewd. This is the fifth seal, paragraph 151. The money-making scheme. A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. Oh my, the money-making scheme, a shrewdness to get the gold of the world and the wealth brought into it. That's exactly to fulfill. That's what begin to charge for prayers and for make a place called purgatory. And you prayed their ancestors and prayed their ancestors out. And you had to will your deeds and everything, your property, the church, and it was... State was assigned, the church taking your property over. Right. And what? Paragraph 154. Don't you see some of these evangelists this day still have that same anointing on them? Making old people give up their pensions and deeding their homes over to certain things. Well, brother, I don't want to get on to that. He said, I'll just stay right with this. What about it? Guys bringing in millions of dollars a year, and yet they're out there telling them, you know, you ought to see a good Pentecostal take up an offering. He'll fleece you for every dime you got in your pocket. We were sitting one night, a certain brother, I won't call his name, but he was taking up an offering. Brother Woodby poked me in the ribs. He said, he knows what he's doing. I seen him pull $10,000 in one offering in a meeting I was in. He even pulled my wife into it because she was punching me. Ain't you going to walk down there and lay your $100 down? Because that's what he said. Lay $100 down. Come down here and lay $100 down. Come down here and lay $100 down. I know I'm hateful and arrogant, but I didn't walk down. I didn't put my $100 in the offering plate. Plus probably a good bit more on giveaway. But see, people, run back. Well, that's not enough, the rest of you. I'll lay another $100 down. I know I mean what I wanted to do. I wanted to do it. I wanted to bankrupt the Dale clan. And I wanted to walk down there and say, you lay $100 down, I'll lay $100 with you. One of us is going to run out of money because you made the challenge. Because, see, I knew what he was doing. I'm not hateful. I knew what he was doing. He was pulling them people for their money. And one brother said one time, he said, I'll take a last $100 from a widow woman as well as anybody. Well, if he ever hears that, he knows I'm talking about him. So he don't care, I tell him to his face. I wasn't the one that made that statement. Your prophet never went for money like that, did he? He fired a campaign manager because he took up an offering. Now, they had free will offerings. They had love offerings. But he fired one man because he took up an offering. He said he did. He said, but Brother Dale, that's, you've got to do something to encourage people. Yeah. I told you about it. I was fixing to help support a brother that still sends me a lot of letters. And I was interested in helping him on a foreign field. And I won't mention where or what, but we was in a meeting and something was said. And he said, yeah, I said, when we have a service, he said, we'll have people deliberately go to the altar. I said, what? He said, yeah, I said, we'll send people.